Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we build a building, we want that building to last, to stand and endure. We hope that it will stand and be useful for many years to come, which is why we put in the money and the effort to carefully build it and build it well. Whether that's a new home that we're building or a place of business or a church building like the one that we're worshiping in right now, we certainly don't want it to be falling apart and coming down after only a few years after it was built. In the gospel reading this morning, that the words that we just heard from Mark chapter 13, Jesus spoke to his disciples about a building that was not going to last. He foretold that the temple in Jerusalem, God's temple, would not long in the future be utterly destroyed. And that brings to mind for us perhaps the various buildings, quote unquote, that we work on building in our lives. We have the building of our job, our career. We work at building our children, if we're parents, up into maturing Christians and into responsible adult citizens. Our whole life, in fact, may be compared to the construction of a building. Now, the question for us is, are these various buildings in our lives going to be lost, going to be destroyed? Are we spending our time and energy and money on something that, in the end, is just going to come crashing down and be totally ruined? The temple in Jerusalem at Jesus' time was a very impressive building. Even though it had previously been destroyed, the original temple that was built under the direction of King Solomon had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and the temple that had been rebuilt was just a shadow of the splendor of the original temple. But at Jesus' time, King Herod, Herod the Great, the king who tried to have Jesus killed when he was only a baby, he had invested large sums of money into fixing up the temple in Jerusalem, and it certainly was a marvelous structure by all accounts. But today, if you go to visit Jerusalem, you'll see that none of that temple building that existed at the time of Jesus and his disciples, none of it remains today. Not one stone. But the base of the temple, the foundation of what's called the Temple Mount, still stands, and that was built up and fortified with large stone blocks. And so you can go and visit today, or you can look up on the internet and see pictures of what's known as the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. For Jews, it's considered their holiest site because it's the closest that they can get to what was originally the temple structure. And if you look at pictures or if you go there, you'll see massive blocks of stone that were used to build up the foundation of the Temple Mount. And so it can give you some idea, perhaps, of what the structure of the temple itself might have been like, how massive and impressive it must have been. Certainly a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort was poured into that building. And all the people of Jesus' day, all the Jewish people were justifiably proud of that spectacular building that was dedicated to the glory and the worship of the true God. It was kind of the kind of place that if you're a resident of Jerusalem, you would certainly take visitors from out of town to go and see if you were showing them the sights of the city. That was where Jesus himself and his disciples worshiped when they were in Jerusalem, frequently for various festivals throughout the year. We read in Mark chapter 13 that on that day, as Jesus was leaving the temple courts, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look what impressive stones these are, and what impressive buildings." Even though the disciples had been there many times before, the splendor, the spectacle of the temple complex and its buildings still impressed them whenever they saw it. But now listen to Jesus' reply. And what he says must certainly have been a shock to his disciples to hear. He said, "Do you see these large buildings? There will not be one stone here left on top of another. They will all be thrown down." And that's exactly what happened about 40 years after Jesus spoke those words in the year 70 AD, when the Roman armies came and besieged Jerusalem and then eventually destroyed the city and killed many of the people of the city. Because the temple in the center of Jerusalem was a symbol of national pride and unity, the Romans intentionally spent extra time burning it down and then tearing apart the ruins, exactly as Jesus had prophesied would happen. Now, Jesus wasn't telling his disciples that the temple itself was no good, that it deserved to be destroyed. No, we see that Jesus himself worshiped there. And nor was Jesus saying that it's inappropriate for believers in God to put a lot of money and effort into a church building in order to make it look impressive and beautiful. But what Jesus was telling them was that we should not put too much importance on things that are only temporary. Later in the same teaching session, Jesus predicts that the temple is not the only thing that is going to be destroyed. Jesus says that the whole world one day is going to be brought to an end. Therefore, the person who builds his or her life only around earthly things is one day going to find out, sadly, tragically, that all of it has been for nothing. He or she has wasted their whole life. How many people there are like that, tragically, in the world today? But in some ways, also, that includes both you and me. Some people get so caught up in building earthly wealth and prestige that they might start to get into some shady dealings that could ultimately land them in jail or at least in hot water with the law. But even if you build your life around something that is altogether within the law, unless what you do somehow reaches beyond the limits of this earthly life, eventually all that you have built is going to be destroyed on the last day. Like the temple in Jerusalem, it may be a nice and marvelous, spectacular thing for a time, but it's just not going to last. But if we want to build something that will last, it has to be connected in some way with Jesus, our Savior. Remember what Jesus said earlier in his public ministry, told the people of his day in John chapter 2. He said, "Destroy this temple," but he wasn't referring to the physical building of the temple, he was referring to his own body. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Jesus was referring to his death and his resurrection, and we see that, yes, people did crucify Jesus. They put him to death on a cross, but he did not remain in the grave. His tomb was empty again on the 3rd day after his crucifixion because he had risen triumphantly from death. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus was building a kingdom that will go on forever. He is the living King of all people. People who have been forgiven and saved by the blood that he shed upon the cross. People who are going to go to heaven after they die. Just as we read in the second lesson for today from Hebrews chapter 12, we see that the kingdom that Jesus builds, the kingdom of God, is unshakable. It cannot, it will not be destroyed. It will still be there after this world is gone and destroyed. By God's grace, we are part of this everlasting kingdom of our Savior, all through faith in him as our Savior. And so if we want to build our lives on something that will last, what our lives must be founded on is Jesus and the good news of his love for us and salvation. Our lives, this building that we are constructing throughout our lives must be tied together in some way with Jesus. So let's think about some examples of buildings that last. Take, for example, parents who are raising a child. The raising of that child to adulthood is one of those buildings on which they are working in their lives. As a parent, naturally, you're going to be concerned about your child's physical health and their welfare. Naturally, you want to provide your child with good things and experiences, and perhaps you try to provide them with many more things and experiences than you had when you were young. But if that's all you focus on, what you are building in your child is still missing the thing that truly endures. If a child grows up to be rich and famous and successful, it ultimately still won't mean a thing in the end unless you bring Jesus into the picture. That it is not a building that will last apart from Jesus. There's nothing more important that you can do as a parent for your children than to lead them to know and to trust in Jesus. To provide the opportunity for your child to know Jesus and to trust in Him as Savior is the most important thing you can do for your child. And then, after they know Jesus as their Savior, it's also important to build in your child Christian character, to instill in them Christian values and attitudes. And if you do that, even if your child remains dirt poor all their life, even if your child never owns a home, even if they only drive a wreck of a car or have no car at all, nevertheless, you will have built something that lasts if your child lives his or her life for and with the Lord Jesus as Savior. That is a building that will last eternally. Think also of your own life. The words of Jesus in our text are a precise description of the lives of so many people. When he says, tragically, there will not be one stone here left on top of another. They will all be thrown down. People often work so hard at piling up stones in their lives, at building their lives into successful structures and edifices, working on achieving various goals that they have set for themselves in their lives. They put so much time and effort into it and spending so much energy on it. What they're building may look very nice. It may have a positive impact on society. But unless what they are building is tied together with Jesus, that building will eventually fall into ruin at the end of time, at the last judgment. Tragically, not one stone will be left on another. Of course, that's not to say that every Christian has to be engaged in full-time church work, devoting all their time and energy and effort into the ministry of the church and of the gospel. But if you can somehow reflect Jesus to the people around you at your job, whether your job is as a manual laborer or as a corporate executive, then what you are doing is building for eternity. Not everyone has the opportunity to meet other people each and every day and to talk to other people every day about Jesus, but you don't have to. If you simply make it your goal to live for Jesus in everything that you do, in faith, accepting the salvation that Jesus has earned for you, and if you follow His will as revealed in His Word, then throughout your life, as you keep building one stone on top of another, those stones are going to stay in place. They're going to be cemented together with your love for Jesus that results from His unfailing love for you. That is also a building that is guaranteed to last. As we look at this beautiful church building that we are so blessed to be able to meet in, we thank God for it. We thank God that it is a solid structure that has stood here for 130 years and been a blessing to all the members of this church and all the people of this community who have been able to meet together here around God's word and sacrament. Lord willing, this building will continue to last for many years to come for that same purpose, for ourselves and for future generations of God's people. But eventually, this building will also fall down. Let what you are building with your life be a building that lasts beyond Judgment Day into eternal life. Build with Jesus. Build on Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. And as you do, you are building for eternity. Amen.